All right, welcome into Spilly on the Rocks. This has not been very much fun. I thought we were going to have fun doing Spilly on the Rocks. Hopefully you are having fun. I've been traveling all over this great country doing games for both Rockies and for Apple TV. And currently where the Rockies currently stand, not good at all. Like historically abysmal. There's a bunch of things to get into. I'll keep it short. Looks like, oh man, I was cleaning up. I was washing some cars on a Sunday, and it looks like I put some foam, some cleaning foam on my shirt. All right, so Rockies got swept at Coors Field this weekend, losing to the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds basically hit 400 over the course of the weekend at Coors Field. Bunch of things to get into, a whole bunch of things. Right now, the Rockies are 4-23. Worst record of all time for the franchise. Historically bad, we know that, but also historically bad in the context of Major League Baseball. And right now, on pace for 138 losses. 138 losses. You heard that right. Last year with the American League Central, the Chicago White Sox, they lost 122. That's the worst record in the modern era. Rockies are looking to blow past that. And I pointed when it comes to the National League West, National League West is the strongest we've ever seen. Like this version of the National League West is no joke. Padres are good. Dodgers are obviously good. The Giants have been playing really, really well, and you have the Diamondbacks. So, you have all the teams in the division, the National League West, above 500. So they're doing good. Dodgers are, 18-10. They're 8 games over 500. The Giants are actually leading the division, and we're going to see the Giants this weekend as the Rockies go on the road to San Francisco for four. Then they play the Detroit Tigers, who I think is the best team in the American League. So tough sledding for the Rockies. The Atlanta Braves will come into town. So let's get you caught up with a couple things. Roster construction. Brendan Doyle returned this weekend. He was dealing with a personal matter. Again, I'm not going to share that. But Brendan Doyle has been back since Kansas City. He's not right because he was dealing with his quad issue. And then the Rockies didn't put him on the IL, which is fine, understandable. But at the same time, they needed him, and they got no offensive production from him when the Rockies went to San Diego in LA. Then they came home, and then they went back out on the road, and they took on the Kansas City Royals, who beat them. Pitching has been fairly good, to be honest. Like the bullpen has been really good. And in fact, if you look at the last like 2 weeks for the Rockies bullpen, one of the best in baseball. One of the best in baseball, for real. But offensively, just cannot find any traction. This is with Clint Hurdle coming on board. And so, as I travel the country and do other games, often I get so many questions about the Rockies. Like, what's up with the Rockies? How do they compete? Like, how bad is it? And I'm like, it's bad, for a couple reasons. One is it's starting to show signs of the problems within the organization. One of those problems has been players from the minor leagues coming up to the big leagues not being ready. And to further illustrate that point, when Ezekiel Tovar, and look, the Rockies have had a significant amount of injuries, a significant amount of underperformance. Like Michael Toley, I thought was going to be possibly a superstar this year, Gold Glove candidate. 30 home runs. I still think he has a chance to put up some big numbers. But right now, Ryan McMahon's in a 2-for-52 slump. 2-for-52. The Rockies had a chance last year to possibly trade him, right after All-Star break. They didn't want to do that. And then they came into the season, they didn't want to trade him again. And there was like multiple teams interested in Ryan McMahon. The Red Sox, Toronto, Seattle. Yankees, like these are all teams that could use a third baseman. The Rockies are not going to move from Ryan McMahon. They have been hell-bent on keeping their players. And historically, they have shown they're unwilling to move players, especially if that player's under control and if they're happy. They're happily happy in Colorado. You go back to think about certain trades The Matt Holliday trade came on the heels of a long-term extension that Matt turned down. That one's well documented. Like Matt wanted some no trade clauses. Dan O'Dowd wasn't willing to offer that. And basically Scott Boras being his agent saying like, dude, you need some no trade clauses if you're going to take a below market deal. Same type of deal that Tulo took, and Tulo didn't have the no trade clauses, and we know what happened there. That's why he's so upset. He thought there was going to be a little bit more discussion about where he was going to go, and eventually the Rockies made the decision to trade him to Toronto, and that deal is done. And that's why Tulo has never been happy with the Rockies. He thought he would have been more involved, especially after signing a long-term deal and kind of been given like an opportunity to stick with the team and at least have a say on where he was going to go. That didn't happen. Rockies never traded John Gray. They didn't trade Trevor Story. They didn't trade Brent Suter. They didn't trade DJ LeMahieu. They didn't trade a bunch of guys, Daniel Bard. And as a byproduct, they have now paid the price. And so when you start thinking about the Rockies specifically, especially when it comes to some of the young players that we've seen, the Rockies were, in a way, they were willing to go with veteran players. They want to have like Thyro Estrada, who got hurt in spring training. They signed Kyle Farmer. Kyle Farmer's been a good player, but he's not an everyday guy. He's a bench player, veteran, kind of like does the things the right way. He's actually done a really good job, Kyle Farmer. He's a root for Georgia kid, went to University of Georgia, and has been like pretty instrumental in some of the growth of some of the young players. And you're not seeing it, but eventually it's going to happen. He took Zach Veen under his wing. The point is like the Rockies brought in a veteran guy. They have, Stallings, Jacob Stallings. They still have Tyler Kinley. They signed Jimmy Hergett. So veteran guys for the bullpen, veteran guys for the bench. You understand it, but they're not supposed to be playing every single day, not at all. And because of the injuries that the Rockies have had, Chris Bryant, Thyro Estrada, the guy they traded for at the end of spring training, Tyler Freeman. And that starts this conversation. So, when you have an organization that's supposed to be building from within, you're hoping when there is an injury or, you're moving on from a certain player, that you fill those roles from within and not use veteran players from the outside that are going to take away at bats from younger players, especially when the team's in a transition. Nick Martini has taken a bats away from Zach Veen, from Sean Bouchard, from multiple guys because he's a veteran at bat, and Buddy likes veteran guys because they give quality at bats. Less chase, quality at bat, and they're not going to be, overwhelmed by big moments. But now here's the problem is that guys like Zach Veen get sent down to the minor leagues because they weren't ready. And there were no at bats. The Rockies, when they lost Ezekiel Tovar, they had to fill from within and they used Aaron Shunk. And Shunk was essentially DFA'd this offseason. Nobody picked him up. That could be a red flag, but nobody picked him up. And then the Rockies use him as a shortstop, which is, it's hard to find shortstops that play at the major league level. When Shunk got hurt, and he got hurt on Friday, it now starts to expose the lack of depth from within the organization. And so what happens? Well, the Rockies at that time, they're like, maybe we'll use Kyle Farmer. They had three catchers on the roster in Hunter Goodman, Jacob Stallings, and then they called up Braxton Fulford. And Fulford's supposed to be a catch and throw guy. In his very first major league game, he had three throwing errors. Maybe not ready, but I also think Braxton Fulford will be okay in time. But three guys on the roster that are catchers means that you're limited with your bench. And your bench now becomes, like you have to have some versatility there. That was Kyle Farmer. That was Aaron Shunk, right? They could play shortstop. Once Shunk got hurt, it forced another decision, which was who do we call up to play shortstop for the time being? Because Ezekiel Tovar is still a ways away from being ready to come back. So what do you do? The Rockies traded with the Texas Rangers on Saturday night for Alan Trejo. Alan Trejo, who was originally drafted by the Rockies and then developed by the Rockies. He played, about 4 years in the Rockies organization at the major league level and was, below league average, but like he was a big leaguer. Texas Rangers had him in their minor league system. He's bounced around. But in the case of Trejo, he's going to get every day at bats. And so it begs the question, why wasn't there a shortstop within the organization that you can fill in? It wasn't going to be Adel Amador, and Amador had his first major league homer on Saturday. And Amador has been less than impressive so far. Last year, made his major league debut, didn't do much. Here's a top prospect in the Rockies organization. I've been excited to see him. Switch hitter, second base. He's supposed to be a plus defender. Possibly a plus offensive player, kind of in the mold of like an Altuve, right? Small in stature but can run the bases. He has not been able to do that. His defense has been average at best, and his offensive profile has been below average. So, that one, give him time because he's only 22 years old, 23. He's very, very young, but not quite ready for everyday big league at bats. But you're also in a spot where does it really matter? And so you start looking at the 40-man roster, and one of the players that possibly could have been called up was Ryan Ritter. Here's a kid who is a shortstop by trade. He's been in AAA, good on base percentage, but some of the profiles don't fit. I don't know how his shortstop defense is, other than what I've seen in spring training. In spring training defense, he's good. Below average for now, but has a chance to improve. So that's the question, is are the Rockies, from a developmental standpoint, developing the players in the right way so that if you do have a loss of a player, whether it's a Tovar or a McMahon or a Michael Tolia, anybody, do you have somebody within the organization to fill in? And the answer right now is no. And that big question is, well, why? Is it because you're not drafting properly? I mean, we have seen some significant chase percentages. Is the profile of the player inadequate? And so, as I mentioned, as I travel, the entire country, and I do all these different games outside of the Rockies, the question is, Spilly, how do they fix it? And I usually say I have opinions, but I'm curious what yours is. A lot of people from the outside go, well, why not have some outside influence? That's a Dick Monfort question. That is a Bill Schmidt question. That is a question that the Rockies have, for the history of the organization, have filled from within. They have been very, very insular. And that is documented. That's not an opinion. That is a fact. So what is the path? The path for me, and from what I have gathered from outside people saying, it was like, why not just bring in a third-party consultant, which there are these guys, right? Chaim Bloom's doing this for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's been hired as a third party. David Stearns was hired by the Mets as a third party to come in and audit the organization. Check out what we're doing. Tell us where we're deficient, and then come up with a list to show us maybe we need to do some things here. Rockies are in that spot right now because, from a managerial standpoint, as much as people are asking for a head doesn't do anything. It's too much the processes. It's too much of stuff that isn't just on the major league roster. If you bring in an outside manager, it doesn't do much. The roster hasn't changed. Clint Hurdle's voice, although I love hearing it because he was a guy that, really meant a lot to my career. His voice can only do so much, and he can impart wisdom, and he's trying to get some tread on the tires and try to get some traction. Not a lot of traction when the roster is what it is. So what do you do? The easiest way to do it, since the Rockies have been adverse to seeking outside guidance and then bringing them in and hiring them, is to take a third party's opinion. Now, there are a couple of people out there. One is Thad Levine. He was with the Minnesota Twins. He was the president of baseball ops. Highly respected. He is looking for other things in life to explore. But Thad was in the Rockies organization. He was somebody that was around when I got drafted. He went to the Texas Rangers. He was under John Daniels, and he actually helped trade for me when I was in the minor leagues in 2012. He traded for me from the Guardians. So you have that. You also have Jeff Luhnow. Luhnow has been spending a bunch of time and attention on European soccer, but Jeff Luhnow is kind of like the devil. Because Jeff Luhnow was part of the Astros scandal. And he was kind of responsible, whether he was directly responsible or not, he was part to the dark arts, right? Using analytics and computers to basically decipher signs, and then that's where it led to the trash can scandal, right? Like, players knew what the pitches were when nobody was even on base, which is above the pale. Like, that is so not cool. You can't use technology. Now, can you steal signs? Yeah, 100%. 100% you can steal signs. For example, if I'm at second base, if I'm a base runner at second base and I see location, I could let you know. I can go like this on my shirt and let you know that pitch is outside. I can go like this and let you know that the pitch is inside. I could mess with my hat. I can look to the outfield and tell you I have pitches. I can alert you on an off-speed pitch based on what I see from within the pitcher's grip. I could pick up signs, right? Like, before PitchCom, I used to be able to pick up, it was either outs plus one, strikes plus one, sign after two. There's all these different things that we knew to look for. Because, I mean, basically, signs are pretty rudimentary, really simple. It's not complex. If you ever watch The Wire, right? Like, The Wire, they were trying to figure out, how are they getting people's numbers and how are they figuring out, how to use this pager? And it was a simple jumping over the numbers. So it's pretty simple. So with Jeff Luhnow was really good at developing an organization. Really, really good. Really smart. He comes from, a background of like being in business and finance and all these different things, and he's really smart. Are you willing to hire a third party like Jeff Luhnow to come in, who helped really establish what the Astros did? Didn't get enough credit for it. A lot of people like shy away from it, but Jeff Luhnow was really responsible for the Astros' success. Part of the drafting, part of the development, part of what they look for as far as an organizational philosophy. You want to go out and hire that guy? Probably should consider it. Anything at this point, just somebody from the outside to come in and go, all right, do you have enough coaches? Are you investing enough in R&D? Do you have enough people in the front office? Like, do you have enough AGMs? Is there enough communication? Are you communicating across all channels? Is medical communicating with coaching? Is coaching communicating with the players? Like, all this stuff. Analytics, are they all communicating together? Or is it just a think tank of several people? I think we know the answer. So the Rockies right now are in really bad spot. Like, probably the worst I've seen a franchise, literally the worst I've seen a franchise, other than the Angels and the White Sox. They need an overhaul. Whether they do it is, again, this is part pride, part not knowing what to do here. So let me show you a couple things. I like doing this on the screen share. I'm going to show you here really quick some numbers to pay attention to. So again, here are the Rockies. Rockies, from an offensive standpoint, most strikeouts in baseball, 277. That's in 26 games. Next closest is the Red Sox, who's a pretty good team. They have 270. And then the third closest team with the same amount of games is the Angels. And this isn't updated for Sunday. And the Rockies struck out, I think, eight more times. So this number should be closer to 285. But let's just, for argument's sake, they're about 30 strikeouts away from third place with the same amount of games. I mean, that is nuts. That is crazy. 75 OPS plus, that means you're 25% worse than league average. And again, the reason why those numbers are what they are is because they're playing so many players that are either borderline major leaguers or not ready for the big league. So 14 stolen bases near the bottom of baseball, 23 home runs near the bottom of baseball, all these numbers near the bottom. From a pitching standpoint, check this one out. 130 earned runs given up. So that's again, in comparison to some of these other teams, that's with less games. So 130 earned runs, they're averaging about 5.7, close to 6 runs per game when their offense is scoring 3.38. Man, they're getting almost like boat race by two. ERA plus for the Rockies is at an 88. So 22% or 12% lower than league average, but the strikeout rate is near the bottom of baseball. So they don't strike people out. They're doing better with the walks, but still near the top. And then you can go back to the last thing. Overall wins above replacement for the Rockies, they're at a -7. -7. Next closest one is two away, and that's the White Sox. So they're across the board. Like there isn't a silver lining except for the relief pitching. And even relief pitching is not going to get a ton of credit. Relief pitching for the Rockies, they're a -0.2. -0.2 still is not great. It's right around league average. Defensively, defensive efficiency, one of my favorite stats when you think about teams that are good. Good teams, Reds, Tigers, Astros, Yankees, Padres, all teams right around 500, if not better. They're converting balls in play into outs about 72% of the time. Reds are at the top. They're at like 75%. And they're now a 500 team, a little bit over 500. Rockies are dead last. And now that number is always going to be skewed because Coors Field, so balls in play at Coors Field, you get a jam job. It's going to fall, but there isn't one part of the Rockies' current roster in game that is league average or better. And to me, that's not just player personnel. That is, why is that personnel here? And why are they not developing? So that is a call to the organization to look themselves in the mirror and try to figure out exactly why. Why are you having to go to outside organizations to fill positions that you need help with? So when a shortstop goes down, you had Tovar, and then the drop off from Tovar to all the other players was significant, significantly bad. So that's going to be the problem. And whether Dick Monfort and Bill Schmidt and Bud Black acknowledge that, that is on their plate. And that is a question that they have yet to answer. That is a question that takes a lot of like checking your ego at the door and figuring out, okay, what are we doing? What are our processes? What is it that we're looking for in players? You do have a draft coming up in about 2 months. Are you drafting the right players? If you're drafting the right players, what is happening during the ladder, as they're going, level by level? That's not allowing them to be ready for the big leagues. And some players are going to take more time. Some players take time. But you cannot have a drop-off where now you're going to another organization to get a fill-in player that isn't even on a major league roster. That's a problem. And so, as I mentioned, a lot of teams and a lot of people from the outside are wondering what is going on. And I don't have the answer. So if you want to tweet me at all, you can, or X me at all. It's at SpillyGoat19. And then Rockies have three more games this week. They play the Atlanta Braves. That's gonna be fun. And then they take on the the Giants for four, come back home, and they have the Tigers, and they play the Padres again. They are well on their way, well on their way, unless things turn around. Like hopefully they catch a hot streak. Because for me, as much as I love doing baseball games, I like seeing the team win. I like seeing any team win. I don't want this team to be this bad. I do not want this team to be this bad. But right now, they are on their pace, 4-23. That's a 148 win percentage to lose 138 plus games. 138 games. We'll say one cool thing about this weekend that I do want to point out. Dante Bichette was in town. We were celebrating the 30th anniversary of the very first game at Coors Field. That's the one where Dante hit the first home run for the Rockies. That was in extra innings. Now, technically, Dante likes to say the very first home run ever hit at Coors Field, he hit, and it was against the Yankees in a scrimmage game, an exhibition game, and he has that baseball, and it's covered in blood. Apparently, some guy like went to try to catch it. He fell, bashed his face, and blood's on the ball. He got the ball. So one of his prized possessions for Dante is a blood-soaked first homer ever hit at Coors Field. So there you go. I'm hoping to be in studio sometime next week, not this week, because it's just the schedule's just too crazy for me right now. The Rockies have been on the road a ton, but I am planning on coming into the new studio. So hopefully I'll see you around, and make sure you pay attention and follow all the guys at Mile High Sports.